Good afternoon to you, Rob.
Good afternoon, Cathy.
And feelings are obviously very raw, and would it be fair to say now again impacted on by news of further disasters?
Yes, yes. Look, we've got to understand that these subsequent events reawaken. In fact, this afternoon I've just been talking to somebody I worked with after the tsunami, and he's found that all of this flood coverage has really stirred things up for him, and we need people to understand that these are like wounds that are going to be reawakened for a long time, and it's just a really hard time. It would have been nice if we'd had a nice quiet January and people could have really come to grips with what the second anniversary means, but in a sense, they're going to be sidetracked off their own kind of emotional work in actually sort of processing these other tragedies.
Mm. What we heard there is that people just can't think, can't find the strength to get up off the couch to do what they need to do just on a normal day, let alone if they're then impacted on by floods. That sounds a bit like depression, Rob.
Well, it's not quite depression yet. What we have to understand is emotions absorb an enormous amount of physical energy. And this, you know, everybody probably listening can think of times when something really disturbing has happened and they just felt they couldn't quite manage anything else. The other side of it is think about wonderful things happening and how much energy that gives you. So what we've got to understand is that the second anniversary, because it's a sort of symbolic moment, brings people face to face with the whole experience. I had someone today to say to me who was bereaved in the fire, saying, you know, I think I've come to terms with my loved one's death and worked through the trauma. Now I'm starting the grieving, you know. So to the people who are saying people should move on, I'd be saying everyone will do it in their own time, but it is a 2 to 5 year time frame. And I think when there's a traumatic bereavement, we are talking about a time frame of that order. Mm. And so really, the second anniversary may just mean that they're actually changing gear in their process rather than coming to conclusion. Yeah.
What we've also heard is that people feel that they're just different people now, that their lives have changed forever since Black Saturday. Is that sort of coming to terms with that and accepting that? Is that part of the process of dealing with the trauma?
Absolutely, because the essence of a trauma is an experience that has permanently changed one of your fundamental beliefs, values, experiences of life. And therefore, and I should say self, and therefore people have to rebuild what is nature, what is the world, what can I be sure of, how do I deal with things and so on. So it's this really important turning point. Now, we know that people can come out of that very strongly better as people with a sense of confidence in their ability to endure, or they can actually feel they've lost something they never quite get back. And I reckon it's the next few years' work that will determine that. And we need to understand that even when they've rebuilt houses and got over the pain, it's this rebuilding the values and the goals and the direction that really determines the long-term outcome. And they need continued support. They need to keep talking about probably different things, different aspects.
Mm. John Szabo, I was talking to from Coligny just before local news, and I continued that conversation with him off air, and he was talking about, for a lot of the fellas up Coligny way, that they haven't sought professional help, or they might have gone once to a counsellor but just felt it wasn't for them, that they've found greater solace in getting together with other blokes and working on rebuilding a shed or something and sort of talking through their shared experience with others.
Absolutely. And, you know, what happens in counselling in a room is, you could say, it's like having some kind of medical treatment, but there's no point in having medical treatment if you don't have good nutrition and a clean environment. And, you know, having good healthy food is absolutely essential. Now, when we're talking about people meeting together socially and in their community, we're talking about the basic nourishment. And so we need to understand that there are times when you need medicine or a surgery or something like that, a very specific small amount of stuff that's going to do the right thing. That's what the counsellor comes in. And people benefit from counselling when they're stuck and they can't work it out, they don't know where to go. But even then, we want them to go back into a community of relationships where there's talking and shared experiences and so on. And some people do a lot through talking, some people do a lot through just being together and hearing other people talk. And so we need all these things to continue.
And hopefully we can help facilitate that and continue to do so on the radio. But Rob, we're going to run out of time. So just quickly to finish, some advice for others outside the, you know, not directly impacted on, but you might have friends or family who are survivors of that day. How do we help them through this?
Look, I think it's really important that the further we get down the track, the more people are going to go down their own way. The more we can offer a listening ear to find out where are they, what are they doing, what's important for them, and be interested to try and understand it. That will encourage them to clarify it. This process where I try to explain something to somebody makes me clarify something, perhaps for the first time, and that to be in a non-judging way, because people can't hurry it any faster. I mean, maybe we can give some advice if we see it, but try not to judge, and particularly not judge from our own experience if it hasn't been anything like that.